Well, today we're going to talk a little bit about anxiety. And if we have some time, we might talk a little bit about some depression as well. I've got two sermons that actually I'm going to try to pack into one, but we'll see how much time we have. And so we're going to explore our emotions just a little bit, and I'm going to be working some technology in two places, so bear with me as we go. I will try to slow myself down as I get started so that I don't get nervous and talk fast, right, Danny? Because I know that Natalia is back in the back hiding and translating for some of you. And we have one announcement. We have a membership transfer. This is a second reading. Pastor John Bridges from Medford, Oregon, and Anatoly and Nadia Antoniuk from Ukraine. Are they coming or going, Danny? Coming in. So if you would, it says stand and vote and welcome them. Are you saying have them stand? Have them stand if they're here today. Are you here, John Bridges or Anatoly and Nadia? Not here today. Well, if you would like to vote them in today, let's start with John Bridges and just by show of hands. And actually, I'm probably supposed to get a first and a second on that, but it looks like we got a first and a second. Amen. And then we have Anatoly and Nadia coming in as well. We've got a first and a second. All in favor? All right. That is complete. It's been a while since I've had to do something like this. You know, I don't know if it's been a year or not. I've been stuck at home for months, but it seems like a year. You know, I was on the elders team and I told the pastor, I said, you know, in the Bible, it talks about letting the land rest in the seventh year. I said, this is my year to rest. And so I had tried to take off as many duties as possible this year. So I hope that God didn't give us COVID so I could take a break. We're going to explore our emotions today, and this is coming in two parts. I actually developed this as a part of a series. We are trying to develop a website where people will be able to go to do Bible studies. It's going to be the nixabiblestudy.com. You've probably heard the pastor talk about it a little bit. And as a part of this website, we want you as members to be able to use this as a tool, whereas we used to bring, you know, a piece of paper to somebody's house and we would sit with them and we would go through a Bible study. We want to develop something that is usable, it's relevant, and it's digital. In the event that we do get stuck in our homes at some point again, we can still study with others remotely. And so we're working on creating content and developing a website that's very easy to use. That's kind of still in the works, but this is a project I put together to be content for that. And I thought, well, what better time to kind of test drive the bones of this and see, you know, if it actually resonates with you as a people. And so if you have feedback today, I'd love to hear it, because there are going to be some tweaking as we upload this into the internet. So this is something that we will be kind of using for the future. Historically, psychology has not always married well with religion. In fact, religion has not always been the biggest advocates of psychology, and psychology hasn't really looked to religion. But from my perspective as a Christian counselor, I think they go hand in hand. You see, God has made us masterfully, and sin came into the world, and it's like a deluge that's just covered us, and it's degraded who we were meant to be. And a part of that is our psychological health. But there are things in the Bible that match 100% with what modern day psychologists would say, these are good steps for taking care of yourself. And while psychology would point you towards just self-care, we know that we have a creator God that is taking care of us as well. And so that actually gives us a little bit of an advantage. I'm gonna turn this so I can get a little closer. All right, Vlad, I'm gonna test out my clicker. Maybe? Give it a tap on that screen for me. All right, well, it's not gonna click for me. So you're gonna have to be my clicker today. Here's, it's moving. Oh. Let me back up. All right, there we are at the beginning. I forget. I have my notes here that was on this screen, and my clicker is on this screen, and I'm watching the screen that's here, and it's not moving, so that makes sense. So to start us out, we want to look a little bit at what we commonly consider positive and negative emotions. And I'm here to tell you, there are no positive or negative emotions. You just have emotions. They all serve a purpose. Every emotion you have, whether it's what we consider a positive emotion, gentleness, joy, love, compassion, humility, forgiveness, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, all of those things are just a part of who you are. It's who God intended you to be. And on the other side, we're going to look at some things that you might consider negative emotions. Those negative emotions aren't actually negative. They serve a purpose. There is purpose to those emotions as well. Positive emotions are basically hormones in your body, right? There's this hormone that's called serotonin. And serotonin, amongst others, is primarily responsible for stabilizing your mood and your feelings surrounding happiness. It's what makes you feel good. If you're up to bat and you've got the baseball bat and you hit that ball and that ball flies in the air, you feel a moment of joy. I did it, right? And in the stands, your mom is watching you and she sees you do this. And there's this thing called empathy where she sees you doing it and she feels for you the same joy and happiness. You see, neurons that fire together wire together is a quick way of thinking about it. In your brain, you have all these neurons that are firing all the time. And when we have serotonin and positive experience, these neurons, these pathways, they fire together and they become hardwired. It's a little bit like walking through a grassy field. We have a grassy field that looks like it's mowed today. But if that grassy field was not clearly mowed and we all went walking through the farmer's field, we would lay down those blades of grass. And if we did that over and over like the Israelites marching around the city of Jericho, pretty soon that grass wouldn't just be bent down, it would be a dirt path. And pretty soon, the next group that came by, they'd look at that field and they say, look at that. That's a path. And that's how in our brain, these pathways, they get started. We do something, we do it again. Neurons that fire together, they wire together forever. Does that make sense? And so as you're walking through the path of life, you're constantly making connections. And you look at your baby and you coo and you ah and you smile. And your baby goes, wow, that's joy. And all of a sudden, serotonin flies off in that brain, and it's like fireworks sparking, and they feel so good, and they feel so trusting and amazing. They feel safe. On the other side of that is what we think of as negative emotions. Negative emotions like anger, sadness, stress, fear, jealousy, worry, guilt. We have those. That's a part of our human condition. But those things keep us safe. Do you understand that? Because when we feel those things like fear, that tells me that that dog barking at me means get back. And I better do it quickly because now it's showing its teeth. And that feeling of anxiety that I have coming up onto the stage of I'm going to have to face however many of you there are today, that gives me kind of a surge. Does that make sense? To be prepared. But on the other side of that is when our emotions become overwhelming. Cortisol is the chemical, it's the hormone that goes along with a lot of stress. Cortisol, it's like your alarm system. You probably have alarms in your house. Remind me to click that on this hand every once in a while. I forget that I'm not connected. Cortisol is that chemical in your body that tells you there's an emergency. And in your house, you probably have smoke detectors. In your businesses, you have sprinkler systems. Sometimes they shoot water. Sometimes it's like a foam that comes out and it acts as a flame retardant to stop those flames from happening. Well, what happens if your alarm system goes off in the middle of the night and there is no emergency? What happens if your sprinkler system, if today, do we have a sprinkler system in here? I don't see one. That's worrisome. if the sprinkler system went off in your place of business and there was no need for the sprinkler system, we would just all have a mess. And that's what happens with cortisol. As you feel stress, you should have a little cortisol jolt. It should cause you to pay attention to that dog barking. It should make you pay attention to that person that's bigger than you and standing over yelling at you. It should make you call to action. But when you just have a big cortisol mess where it's dumping on you for no reason, day after day after day, there's an imbalance. And that's just sometimes a part of who we are. It's a part of our genetics. It's a part of sin. Doesn't mean that we have been sinful to receive that. It just means that the fallout of sin has changed our world. We have some verses. The first one is Psalms 23:4. And really what these are is they're promises that are there to quell our fear. They're there to stop us from feeling that sense of danger that we are alone in this. It says, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for you are with me. Proverbs 1:33 says, but he who listens to me shall live securely and will be at ease from the dread of evil. Haggai 2:5, my spirit is abiding in your midst. Do not fear. Deuteronomy 31:8, the Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fall, will not fail you or forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Do you get what that is? That's God saying, I am there every step of the way. You are not alone. God is with you. If you're a child and you're scared of the dark and your parent's a good parent and they say, okay, well, we need to have the lights off. That way you sleep better. And we're going to shut the door because that keeps you safe if there's fire. And it keeps you also from wandering into my room and waking me up at 20 times a night. But if you're that child and you're laying in the dark, the fear is not of the dark, it's of the unknown. It's, I don't know what's out there. My imagination is flaring off. There's shadows, there's bumps, there's air conditioning moving through the vents, rattling things. I don't know if I'm safe. But as that child develops a little more security, number one, in their own kind of self, of I am okay. My parent is across the hall. My parent is sitting in the chair next to my bed. That sense of closeness to their father, that provides protection. And that's what these verses are about. It's this reminder that God, the Father, the creator of the universe, is walking with you every step of the way. So you need to be focused on tuning your brain to these promptings of the Holy Spirit. You are not alone. You are not in this by yourself. God has got your back. In fact, Jesus, as he ascends into heaven, he says, I am going to send you a comforter. We call it the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is asking to live and dwell within you. Like you can't get any more not alone. To have some entity, the Holy Spirit, God the Spirit, living in you. You are not alone. We have some more verses. It says in 1 John 4:18 and 19, there is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment, and the one who fears is not perfected in love. 2 Chronicles 20:17, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow go out, face them, for the Lord is with you. Luke 21:9, when you hear of wars and disturbances, do not be terrified. John 14:27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor be fearful. God is with you every step of the way. So what are the practical steps? I already told you, in my professional experience, I find that psychology and the Bible, they align. It always is amazing to me as I turn pages into my Bible and I say, look how science is catching up to something that was written 2,000 years ago. Matthew 6, 25 through 34. You could read all of this today, but we're going to look at a couple key texts that come out of that. It's verse 27, verse 33, and verse 34. And it says, "Who of you being worried can add a single hour to his life? How many of you lay in bed at night and your thoughts will not stop? And you're concerned about your kids, you're concerned about your job, you're concerned, do I wear the mask to church, do I not? Your thoughts, they just spin up and they do not let you rest. Does the worrying change any of those things? It doesn't. Verse 33, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." You see, reducing your anxiety, it all starts with acknowledging that there's a purposeful shift in how I think. If I change how I think, I change how I feel. We're going to talk about more of that in a second. But the key here is, what are you thinking about? Am I constantly rehearsing the negatives of the day, of what you said to me, of what happened, of how it happened? Or am I shifting my thoughts onto eternal glories? Verse 34, so don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Isn't that the truth? Like, I don't know what I'm going to get into tomorrow, but I can guarantee you the only thing I have control of is this moment. And even that is fleeting. Focus on the moment you're in. That aligns 100% on what you would find if you walked into a counseling office today. Focus on this moment, not on every little thing that's going on in the future, not everything from the past. Where are you today with your walk with Jesus Christ? So there's something that I like to point out whenever I talk about stress and anxiety, and that's this idea of ants. That's not running very well on that computer, but it looks pretty good on mine. Have you ever had ants burrow into the foundation on your deck or your woodwork? Or maybe it's like cockroaches where they've come in and they've burrowed in and they've destroyed the foundation of something? Because that's how your automatic negative thinking works. Ants, A-N-T, ant, automatic negative thinking. That's when our brains shift automatically to the negative. Well, nobody likes me. This isn't gonna go very well. I just can't do it. Have you had those thoughts? Have you had those burdens on your mind that you're not good enough? Well, let me tell you, you are created to be kings and queens eternal in heaven. You have value. The S, stop it. Got it? Stop it. Stop the automatic negative thinking. It's not working for you. It's tearing you down. Here's Philippians 6 through 8, which really cements this idea of we have these automatic negative thoughts, but what should we be thinking about? Be anxious. Is that a feeling you feel? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known to God. The peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, get that? It's all comprehension. It's everything. Will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, honorable, right, pure, lovely, good, if there is excellence and if anything worthy of praise, dwell or think on these things. If you're letting your mind shift to the negative, shift to the negative, shift to the negative, it is time to move on to something that is praiseworthy. And it's right here. This is the big list. I don't know if I could summarize a thought beyond these that are positive. Like, that summarizes it all. These are the things that I need to be thinking about. So in counseling, one of the most popular modalities, one of the popular methods of counseling strategies is cognitive behavioral therapy. It's got some of the most research to say that it is better than a placebo, basically. And it says, the idea is, what I think about is often how I feel. And how I feel is what I do. And if you've ever been driving in the car and you get really angry because why isn't this person going faster? What are they doing? Why did they hit their brake? Why'd they cut me off? How many of you are truck drivers and you've had those thoughts in your head as idiots are driving down the road? Right? What thought is in my head right now? That person is an idiot. And sometimes we go worse. That dumb lady, and we go kind of towards like this sexist thing because we assume, well, it's a lady, it's an Asian, it's, and we get our biases out, right? I mean, let's be honest. What I think about is then what I feel. What do I feel now? I feel anger. I feel upset. Where did it start? Started with my thought about that other person. And now what do? I floor it and I get right up on their tail. Maybe I follow them home. Maybe I just shake my fist at them. Maybe I roll down my window and I tell them where they can stick it. Because let's be honest, not every moment of my life do I look like a Christian. Sometimes my human nature comes out. But it started with my thinking, because I was not thinking about the things of God. I was thinking about how you wronged me. Well, let me tell you something. The message of Jesus is one of humility. It is one of, I am the King of Kings and I'm willing to get down on my knees and wash your feet. If I can't act that out in a car drive that takes me 20 minutes across Springfield, I'm not doing a very good job representing as an ambassador of Christ. We've got to shift out of our negative thinking cycle. 100%. Psychology and religion, it matches. By the way, you'll feel better. So let's just use an example. I don't have one written down. But if my thought is, why don't they just go faster? Maybe my thought is, they've probably had a really long day like I have, and they're trying to just relax on the way home. How do I feel now? Anger? No. I might still feel like I'm in a hurry, but I have a whole lot more patience for that person. Now my actions, I tap my brake. Maybe I turn my music on and I wait. Do you see how that changes what I do? If I change my thought, I change how I feel. If I change how I feel, I change what I do. I'm going to do a quick character study. I told you we might go through one. Well, probably I'm going to get through anxiety today. We won't get to depression because I see we don't have much time left. Elijah is the character in this character study. We're not going to read these three chapters, but you already know the story. You know that Elijah is called by God to go before Ahab. I got to remember to click that. He goes before Ahab and he says what? There will be no rain, right? Can you imagine the anxiety that that would provoke? Going before the king and saying, hey, you're not going to have any rain because you're not doing right. Wow. Standing up for right is an anxiety-provoking experience. And here's the deal. Most of us, we bend to peer pressure. Immediately after this, he goes into hiding. If that's not an anxiety response, I don't know what it is. I mean, literally, that's in fight or flight. That's flight. I'm going to run away. He goes and he hides. He's dependent on a little brook to give him water and the animals to bring him food. The ravens fly in his bread, right? That's an anxiety-provoking experience. Some of you probably hit that back in March when there was nothing on the shelves in Walmart. What am I going to do? Anxiety. But he had a little bit of faith still. He did what God said. Eventually that brook dries up and God sends him to the widow. And it's amazing to me that when we shift to helping others, our pity party gets smaller and smaller. And I don't feel so like I'm so important anymore, that my concern is so big because I'm worried about you. And it changes my outlook on what I can do next. And you know the story. He goes, the widow doesn't have much, but as long as Elijah is there, there is bread and water, right? They have enough. Now, pretty soon down the road, the little boy in the story, he gets sick, he falls ill, and he breathes his last breath, or so they thought. Wow, talk about anxiety after anxiety after anxiety. He does not have it easy in this story. And yet he listens to God, he falls on that boy, and that boy has life again. Blessing after blessing after blessing, because God is walking with Elijah. Amen. The Holy Spirit is there in Elijah's heart. 3 years pass. Elijah goes before the king, and Ahab blames him. He says, "There you are, troubler." And Elijah's like, "Wait a minute. This is from God, and here's the next thing. God's got a challenge for you. We're going to have a pray out. I challenge you to a duel of prayer." And they build two altars, and Elijah dumps water on his altar, and there's like 850 prophets of Baal and Asherah, I believe, and they're dancing, and they're cutting, and they're acting like fools. No fire falls on their altar, because there is no false god to answer their prayer. Elijah, with one simple prayer, has fire fall from heaven. It consumes that altar. It consumes the offering. The people go, "Praise God, we want to fall back and listen to God." And Elijah kills all those false prophets. Whoa, talk about more stress. If you're anybody that's been in the military and you've had to serve in such a way that you're putting others at risk, I mean, we're talking PTSD. We're talking severe anxiety. And in fact, guess what he does? He kills these guys. He runs again. Anxiety is real, even for prophets. It's real for you and me. So what do we do with it, about it? It's understandable why he ran. He was fearful for his life. But ultimately, and then he goes and he prays to God and he says, "God, just kill me. Let me die." That's where his despair is in his heart after all of this experience. But God tends to his needs. Every day he gets up, he eats, he drinks, he sleeps. He takes care of the basic necessities of life. And if you're so deep into the troubles of life, that's where you're at. Eat, sleep, get up, find a purpose. Because without that purpose in your life, you're just going to keep sinking deeper. In the study that I plan on putting online, I've got some tips from the CDC and a hotline for suicide, because I never want anyone to feel that they're alone that may not know Jesus Christ. You and I, we have a Savior that's looking out for us, that's listening for your call when you cry. Matthew 11:28 says, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest." We're going to close there. Maybe eventually we'll get to part two, which looks at exploring your emotions and depression. I hope that this was valuable to you today. I hope that you recognize you are not alone and you're not powerless, because God has given you an amazing mind. You can literally think about your thoughts. Have you ever thought about that? Other creatures don't have that capacity to think about my thoughts. And because I can think about my thinking, I can change my thinking to things that are pure and godly. And when I do that, I feel a little bit better about my brother and sister. I feel a little bit better about me, and I definitely feel closer to my God.